to chapter 7. And verse 21 is the beginning of our first reading. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out demons, devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Will you underline from this reading the words in verse 21? Not everyone shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. John's Gospel, chapter 6, please. John 6 and verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Not one refused. Romans chapter 3 for our final reading. And verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. It would be generally understood that positive statements are better than negative statements. If you want to communicate, your best to put your communication in positive terms, but what we have read tonight are negative statements. And the three negative statements that I want to emphasize with you in the opening of the meeting tonight are, first of all, there is not anyone righteous. From Matthew chapter 7, I want to emphasize to you that not everyone is ready. And from John chapter 6, I want you to know that not anyone is refused. All who come to the Lord Jesus will be received by him if they come in time. So our hope and prayer tonight is that through the preaching of the gospel, you will come to the Lord Jesus Christ personally. You will be received tonight, and you will leave this meeting, as we have already been reminded, saved and ready for heaven, sure that whenever the Lord Jesus comes, or whenever life's little journey is ended, that you will be with the Lord Jesus in heaven. The truth that we have read in Romans chapter 3 is a truth that we need to emphasize. I wouldn't tell you that we particularly enjoy preaching this, and yet I suppose that in 1996, there are few truths that we deal with in the gospel that need to be preached more clearly, more frequently, than the truth that we have read here. You see, I think most people have the idea that man is basically pretty good. And if you just continue on a reasonable course of what is normal and acceptable, that is what God requires. If you get far off the track and you commit murder, or you do some other sins that are way down the list on the list of what is really bad, then that would be a problem. But as long as you keep sincerity and honesty, by and large, in your life, everything is all right. And could I tell you tonight that the Bible's teaching and the preaching of the gospel down through the ages has declared one very clear truth. Not anyone righteous. Listen to the words of Scripture. As it is written, so Paul is reminding us this is not only what he is saying. Of course, Paul's writings are inspired, but Paul is quoting from what has been said in the Old Testament. As it is written, there is none righteous. And if that's all the Scripture said, then I think that would be very sweeping, very clear. There is none right with God. There is none who measures up to the standard of God's holy person. There is none who is exempt from the charge of guilty in God's court of law. There is none righteous. But added to that are these words that are so weighty. No, not one. There is not an exception in the whole human family. Every one of us, because of what we are by nature, comes under this sweeping statement from God. There is none righteous. No, not one. No matter whether you attend a place of worship on Sunday morning or don't bother to attend such a place. Whether your neighbors regard you as upstanding, kind, and a good neighbor, or whether your neighbors have a lot of problems with you, or maybe you with them. Regardless of what it may be, there is none righteous, no, not one. In very clear language, what the Word of God is telling us is this. There is no one who measures up to the standard of what God requires. And could I tell you tonight, God's requirement is not simply a philosophical point that God has arrived at. And he says, now really, it would be good if you measured up to this standard. God's standard of what is right is the standard by which men and women must be brought in order to be in heaven. And God's word makes it clear, there is none righteous. No, not one. Do you know the name Willie Nelson? I think he's a country music singer, is he? He bought a golf course. Somebody asked him one day, what's the par on this golf course? He paid the money for it. He said, par on this course is whatever I want it to be. You see that hole over there? That's a par 47, and yesterday I birdied that hole. And men think that they have the right to make the standard of righteousness. And it's a sliding standard. What society accepted 40 years ago has moved. And now people have the idea, well, it doesn't matter. I don't feel it has hurt me. I don't think anyone else is hurt by it. It seems to be acceptable to society. And men and women have the general idea that then the standard of righteousness is flexible. It moves. And whatever we together agree is right is sufficient. And the Word of God tells us that sin and righteousness are measured by the very standard of the character of God. What is right is not determined by society. What is right is not determined by popular vote. What is right is based in the very character of God. Should God change, then what is right changes. God hasn't changed from the beginning of time to the present moment. And God is eternally the same and will never change. And what God called right at Mount Sinai, God calls right in 1996. And what God calls right in 1996, God will call right when all the world stands before God at the great white throne of judgment. And God's standard will not have changed. And the ultimate issue you must face tonight is this. Whether by your own standard or not, by God's standard, it's unrighteous. No, not one. And I would hope to make it clear tonight, just in the opening moments of this meeting, that if you have any thought that somehow you must, can, or have measured up to the standard of what God requires, and your measuring up to that standard is what is required for admission to heaven, then could I tell you tonight, you have no hope, not so much as that. Every one of us, under the sweeping statement, none righteous. No, not one. But let me take you to the Lord Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 7. And listen to him say, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Did these expect to be in heaven? It's very clear they did. Not everyone who expects to be in heaven will be there. These people had done Christian work. They had been busily engaged in Christian activity. Not everyone that's engaged in Christian activity will be in heaven. Not everyone who prays will be in heaven. Not everyone who lives righteously as far as their neighbor is concerned will be in heaven. Not everyone who has been baptized will be in heaven. Not everyone who has taken communion will be in heaven. Not everyone who has assented to the teaching of the Bible will be in heaven. Not everyone who has Christian parents praying for them will be in heaven. Not every person who intended to be in heaven and get salvation someday will be in heaven. Not every soul that was anxious about salvation will be in heaven. Not every soul who thought they were so near the door that inevitably they would be inside will be in heaven. I want to make it clear tonight that we may be speaking to some in this gospel meeting, and not everyone who has come to the Stephen Leacock Collegiate Auditorium to listen to the message of the gospel in these meetings will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone. And the ultimate issue that you are facing and that we are facing as we preach the gospel is this. To be absolutely certain you will be one of the ones who will be in heaven. I have thought of it this way today. Mr. Dirksen and I count it a great privilege to be involved in these meetings. It's a great privilege to have you with us tonight. Perhaps you don't usually come to gospel meetings. We are very glad you've come. We count it a privilege. But there is another side of this that we are very keenly aware of. We face a tremendous responsibility. Not just for one soul, but we believe before God that we are responsible to Him for this meeting tonight and what we have said in this meeting. And we are responsible for the gospel we have presented to you. And what concerns us deeply is this. Will some leave a gospel meeting like this and fail to realize this preaching was for me? Fail to realize this is what I must face. This is where I stand before God. Mary Helen Pugh had a son who became the 17th victim of the serial killer in Atlanta. He was killed in February of 1981. She told him repeatedly, "Do not go out at night. The killer will get you." He went out at night. The killer did get him. At his funeral, she wept inconsolably, and her words were, "I told him not to go out, that the killer would get him, but I didn't really mean it." And I have thought of that dear woman's words so often as we preach the gospel. Is it possible we speak to men and women, and yet somehow it comes across, and it may be sadly true, what we tell you and how we warn you may not have the weight with us that it ought to have. Not everyone in this meeting tonight will be in heaven. Could I ask you to be absolutely certain, in light of your own soul, that you will be in heaven? You'll understand that in the passage from which we have read, what the Lord Jesus is teaching is this. Only those who have a right start will be in heaven. Only those who build upon the Word of God will be in heaven. Only those who personally trust the Lord Jesus Christ will be in heaven. Has there been such a time as that in your life? Can you look back to the time when you began to build simply on what the Word of God said and you received salvation through the Word of God? Not everyone who dreams of being in heaven will be there. But I do want to assure you of this, that not anyone who comes to the Lord Jesus will be refused. Not anyone. There may be someone in our meeting tonight and you're saying to yourself, "I have tried to come. Maybe it's because I don't know how to come that I have not been received." Could I tell you tonight that coming is so simple that your problem is not knowing how to come? I'm not sure I said that right. Your problem is not that you do not know how to come. You cannot blame it on ignorance because salvation is so simple. Salvation is readily available. It's not a matter of figuring out how to come or figuring out what you are supposed to do. There were those that came to the Lord Jesus during the time when he was ministering here in this world. And when they came, they left him without blessing. They were people of one particular class. They were people who were not aware of their own need. Those who came to receive healings, they missed the true blessing that the Lord Jesus gave. Those who came and were not willing to acknowledge their guilt in the presence of God, they left without blessing from the Lord Jesus. But there was not a soul that came to the Lord Jesus who realized this. My supreme need is spiritual. What I need is a Savior from my sins. What I need is to be delivered from the judgment that my sins deserve. Not one such soul was ever turned away by the Lord Jesus. And if tonight you're having trouble coming to the Savior, could I tell you this is the problem? To face honestly in the presence of God your true need as a sinner in the sight of God. There is no salvation apart from repentance. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I want you to know that that's not some work of merit. That is a man or a woman who comes to face this. What God says about me in His Word is true. I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, said the prodigal, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. I have absolutely no claim on blessing from God. There was never a sinner who came to the Lord Jesus with no claim on blessing who left without the blessing. And as long as you think you can do something and negotiate in some way and obligate God in some way to bless you, you will leave without salvation. And it will always be that way. But if you came tonight as guilty, unworthy, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Could I tell you another thing that's very clear in John's gospel? The attraction of those who came to the Lord Jesus and were blessed. Just let me quote for you his words in chapter 12. I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Let us make it as clear as possible tonight. A crossless conversion is an impossibility. If you are going to leave the meeting tonight, save for eternity, then it will be through what the Lord Jesus did at Calvary. And if you miss everything else that we preach, please do not miss the story of the cross tonight. Please do not miss the tremendous importance, the indispensable character of what Christ did at Calvary. There is no hope for a soul in this gathering tonight apart from a Christ who was crucified, who bore sin in his own body on the tree. We have no message of hope if we cannot tell you of Christ who suffered and died for sins at Calvary. And every soul who realizes their need will understand this. The only answer from heaven is what Christ did upon the cross. And our longing is that from the gathering tonight, there will be souls drawn away to Christ and to Calvary to understand tonight that God has a message of good news for you in what Christ accomplished when he suffered upon the cross. Dear soul in our gathering tonight, would you take another look at Calvary? Would you take another look at the uplifted Christ whose hands were wounded by nails and who bore the curse of sin upon that rugged cross? And will you understand tonight that God's message of good news to you is that it was for guilty sinners that that Savior died. It was to put away sin that his precious blood was shed. We sing sometimes, why was he there as the bearer of sin? If on Jesus thy guilt was not laid, or why from his side flowed that sin-cleansing blood, if his dying thy debt has not paid? What more does God require for the forgiveness of your sins but the blood of Christ at Calvary? What more does heaven require for admission through the pearly gates than the infinite value of the work of Christ upon the cross? Soul tonight, come to Calvary. And look for nothing more. And the Savior says, him that cometh unto me. Meet me at Calvary tonight, says the Savior. Meet me on the basis of the value of my finished work. Him that cometh to me. Here is his assurance. I will in no wise cast out. Get to Calvary. Trust the Savior who died for sins. Neither tonight nor for eternity will he ever turn you away. God grant you may come tonight.